Well, good morning. Ooh, you guys are, maybe you've already had Halloween a couple times and you're a little sugar coma. Let's try that one more time. That was a little bit too subdued. Good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Adam Purcell. I am the teaching pastor here. Whether it's your first time or you've been here lots and lots of times, we are really glad that you are here with us. We are kicking off a new series that's going to take us, it'll be five Sundays counting today, that I am really excited about. And I'm excited about it because I've been praying for us, for me, and for you. And I'll echo what Josh said just moments ago. I think prayer is a struggle for a lot of us, right? I mean, prayer is a struggle for me, prayer is a struggle for Josh, prayer is probably a struggle for 90-something percent of us in the room, and I'm just really believing and trusting that God is going to do something special in each of us and consequently in us corporately through this series as we look at Jesus' teachings on the Lord's Prayer. We call this series aficionado, which is basically a word, if you don't, you're like, what does that word mean? So it's someone who is really passionate about something, right? So a lot of you are Cleveland aficionados, and honestly, this past week shows you prayer works, right? I mean, I'm a Cleveland guy, and so I love the Browns. Yeah, and you know, and the Cavs, and I like baseball about this much, like actually a little bit less than that, like this much. But I'm rooting for the Indians and excited to see them hopefully win tonight. Tonight's game five, right? Hopefully, so hopefully they'll win tonight. Anyways, but proof that prayer works, right? So what we'll say each week in this series is that prayer is an acquired taste. And I think the problem for a lot of us, especially those of us who have called upon the name of the Lord and we're saved, we know that God has forgiven us and brought us into relationship with him through the blood of Jesus and his resurrection, we find ourselves going through phases where we pray. And if you're like me, I like to pray, like I genuinely do. And then I'll go through seasons where I'm like, man, I just don't know that I've been praying like I should and to the degree that I should, and then I feel guilty about that, and then I don't know, sometimes that guilt spurns me to greater prayer, sometimes it just kind of melts away and I start watching a World Series game and I just get distracted by all these things that I'm bombarded with in our culture. And so what I'll say to us for the next 5 weeks is that prayer, it's kind of like an acquired taste. I don't know if you've ever tried something and you didn't like it and someone says to you, well, you know, it's an acquired taste. For me, that was coffee, right? And so I never drank coffee until probably 2 or 3 years into my marriage with my beautiful wife, Molly. And so what would happen each morning is my awesome wife would brew a pot of coffee, and because I'm hilarious, I would say nearly every morning I would do something like this. Hey Molly, did you fart? Did you, and because I hated the smell of it, I hated the taste of it, like didn't, you know, Adam, it's an acquired taste. I don't want to acquire that taste. It smells disgusting. And so that was like and obviously Molly loved that. She like woke up out of bed every morning thinking, I hope Adam does that again. So what kind of caused me to seek to acquire this taste of coffee was, it was probably a month into our marriage, one of Molly's cousins got married, and it was out on, you know, because they have a house on the Cape Cod, because of course, who doesn't own a house on Cape Cod? And so we went to Boston and connected with them there, and we didn't go to their mansion in Boston, but we went to their other home on the Cape. And so I'm sitting there with Molly's family, who they've done pretty well. I mean, like her dad's a doctor, and her one uncle is a justice on the Massachusetts Superior Court, and her other uncle's like this big time guy in a union and all, and I'm sitting there like a child drinking my Mountain Dew while they're all like coffee, you know, like men, right? And so I'm sitting there just feeling like an idiot, and that was when the beginning of, I think I need to learn to like this. And so for me, it started with lots and lots of cream, lots and lots of sugar, and that was how I kind of learned to acquire the taste of coffee. And now I've, you know, kind of weaned myself off of the sugar and just take a little bit of cream and I'm good to go. Some of you are like, no, take it black. And I'm not there yet. Like I can't do it. And so I'm not ready to acquire that level of a taste. And like I can tell the difference between good coffee and bad coffee. Like if it's bad, I'm just not going to drink it. But some of you, you can tell the difference between good coffee A and good coffee B. You're like, oh, I think there's a hint of strawberry in this. I'm just like, I don't know, it just tastes like coffee to me, right? And so, but you've acquired the taste, and now you genuinely enjoy coffee, right? And so it's an acquired taste, and I think prayer is a little bit like that. If you're not someone who's ever intentionally gone about acquiring a taste, maybe another example that we can use is learning to ride a bike, right? So maybe prayer is an acquired taste, kind of like learning to ride a bike is an acquired taste. My children are 7 and 6 and 2, and then we have one on the way, many of you know, and so our oldest two are pretty decent at bike riding, especially my son Ethan, who's our oldest. So 2 summers ago, you know, we sort of tried with him, and obviously when you're learning to ride a bike, it's terrifying, right? Because you've never done it and you're afraid to fall and get hurt. And so 2 summers ago, he was like not super interested in it, and we just kind of let it go. this past summer, he walks up to my parents' house where his bike was, and there's kind of flat blacktop. And in the span of like 10 minutes, he went from having never ridden a bike in his life to riding around their driveway like a maniac. And he was having so much fun. And that's a little bit like acquiring a taste for something, right? Because for him, he's looking at this bike and he's scared of falling. He doesn't want to fall. He doesn't want to get hurt. And he's never done this before. But if you've ever ridden a bike, especially if you recall kind of learning to ride a bike the first time when you're a young kid, there's just so much joy and kind of this feeling of freedom when you can just hop on a bike and go, you can just ride around and do whatever you want, not with zero fear, but with incredible joy and not really thinking about falling because you've acquired that skill. And I think prayer is a lot like either of those two things, right? It's kind of like learning to ride a bike. It's kind of like learning to love coffee or whatever acquired taste that you might be thinking of. And what I'm hoping is going to happen over the next 5 weeks is if you have not yet acquired the taste, so to speak, for prayer, is that you will. And what we'll say at the end, and I'll preface it now, you're going to do that not by listening to me or someone like me talk to you about prayer. You're going to acquire the taste by drinking. You're going to acquire the taste by getting on the bike. And so you're going to be challenged this series to get on the bike, to take the sip, to do what you need to do to acquire this taste so that maybe in 5 weeks, God willing, we'll all be people who we don't have it down, but man, we're so much further along when it comes to our prayer than we were. And so today we're going to be looking at kind of Jesus's preface to the Lord's Prayer. And so as is our habit, I'm going to pray for us before we jump into the Word. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 if you want to get in there into an actual book Bible. Those things are cool. We have an app. You probably have an app too that has Bible verses on it. The words will be here as well. But before we do that, let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here together today. And God, it's appropriate for us this morning to thank you for this thing that we're doing together right now. God, it's such a gift that we do often take for granted that we can come before you and you listen to us. And we can talk to you about our feelings, about our thoughts, about our needs, about how great you are, about our sin. And God, you welcome us into your presence by prayer. And so, Father, I ask for help as we open your word. Please help me to teach well. Please open our ears and our hearts so that we can hear from you this morning. And Father, we know that this is a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual reason why many of us struggle in prayer. And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to become a people who are a praying people, who come before you regularly and joyfully, God, because we love you. We know that you're the best. And giving you our time is the most important thing we can do with our days. We pray all of this in your Son, Jesus the Christ's holy name. Amen. So looking at Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. This is Jesus speaking in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is pretty awesome. So Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people." And then the point here is, "in order to be seen by them." So he's saying, okay, guys, so this is kind of the preface statement for the text that we're going to be looking at today. And so Jesus says, hey, beware of, pay close attention to, and avoid this particular thing. And the thing is a motivation. And so Jesus says, so beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And so the motivation is to be seen by them. And then Jesus says, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, and you'll note here, Jesus is going to make some assumptions about the life of someone who is following God. And so some assumptions are, you're going to be practicing righteousness, you're going to be giving to the needy, you're going to be praying. Like, those are assumptions implicit in the text. He says, verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, which you'll see as a theme in our text this morning, so that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Since this is a series on prayer, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but you'll notice when we get to the next section of the scripture, it's very, very similar. Jesus is basically saying, hey, there's going to be this temptation on your part to do religious-y, Jesus-y, God sort of things in order to get applause from other people. Don't do that. God sees everything, including the things that happen in secret, so your habit or the heart around it should be, I want the reward from God, not the applause of other people. That should be our heart behind all of these things. So we go on to verse 5. And again, you'll see an assumption, right? I mean, Jesus is assuming that we're going to be praying, right? And so Jesus says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. So must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And so you'll notice, so he said, okay, so he's saying, don't pray like this. And then here in a second, you're going to say, instead, do this. He says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up, so again, you know, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. And Jesus' point is obviously that's not how it works, right? Do not be like them. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then verse 9, Jesus says, rather, when you pray, pray like this. And then he says more or less what we just all recited together a moment ago. And so really quickly, let's circle back through and make sure we've taken in what Jesus says here. And so verse 5, Jesus says, okay, so when you pray, there's going to be this temptation on your part to pray like the hypocrites do. And how do hypocrites pray? Hypocrites pray to be seen by others. And really the what's going on in someone's head or in their heart when they pray for that motivation, when we maybe pray with that motivation, is really what you're saying is, I don't really trust that God is going to hear me and reward me for this prayer. Like, I've got some stuff that I want, and I don't really trust that prayer is the way to get that stuff. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take things into my own hands. And one of the things that I want is to be seen as a good guy who's generally like loving God and like, you know, respectable and whatnot. And so what I'm going to make a habit of doing is I'm going to talk publicly or even pray publicly about my righteousness and pray in front of people so that they will see me and they will think well of me. And that's my heart motivation, is it's all about me. And Jesus is saying, hey, when you pray, don't do that. Don't be like the hypocrites when you pray, because your Father, he sees what happens in secret. And so Jesus is saying, in contrast, man, instead of praying to get accolades from other people, man, go into your closet, like the room inside all the other rooms inside of your home, and pray in secret there. And we should point out, Jesus isn't saying that you're not allowed to pray in public. Jesus isn't saying that you can't bow your head before a meal at a restaurant or pray in church together or whatever. Jesus prays publicly in his ministry. What he is saying is, if you find in your heart that your motive for praying in a public place is to be seen doing it so that people will think well of you, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it like the hypocrites. And Jesus says, don't do that. The next thing he says, but when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. So he says, okay, so you've seen hypocrites pray. Don't pray like them. You've also seen Gentiles pray, people who are not Jewish, people who in Jesus' context, he's talking to primarily Jewish people, they would think, oh, not the people of God. And how Jesus describes Gentiles, and maybe we could view Gentiles as non-Christians, but Christians, sometimes we fall into this belief as well. Jesus says that the Gentiles, they think that the way to get God to listen to them is to talk a lot. To heap up empty phrases is the phrase that Jesus uses here. And so there's been a lot of debate about what exactly that means, but the gist is, if you think you can get God to listen to you by how you talk, your eloquence, how much you quote certain things, or how great your diction is, or by how long or even emotion-filled your prayers are, that's wrong. God, your heavenly Father, listens to you because he's gracious and he's good. And if you have trusted Jesus the Christ, you can have confidence that he is always hearing your prayer. Always, all the time, no matter what. You don't have to do it right. You don't have to like try to talk for a really long time. You don't have to do any of those things. You just need to trust that God will hear you. And Jesus, you know, when he says, hey, when you pray like this, if you'll notice, it's not a 10-hour prayer. Like, how long did it take us to recite that together? 45 seconds? Maybe, right? And so don't be like the Gentiles, because they think that they can manipulate God into listening to their prayers by how they go about it. That's not how it works. God hears us because Jesus is really good. And so what I wanted to do with the rest of our time together this morning is give you a challenge and then give you maybe a little bit of direction on how to start that challenge. So the challenge that I really, really, really want every single one of us to commit to, we'll call it plus five. So I want you to think in your head really quickly, how much time do you spend every day praying? Some of you would say, man, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I pray sporadically throughout the day, but I don't necessarily have kind of a set time on my calendar where I would intentionally pray. Some of you would say, 25 minutes. I pray 25 minutes every single day. I don't know where you are, right? But what I want to challenge each of you to do is to add 5 minutes to whatever that is. Whatever that is, I want you to add 5 minutes, which for some of you are like, 5 minutes? How could I pray for that long? Trust me, you try it and you'll be like, man, that went really fast. And so for some of you, you're going to be going from 0 minutes to 5 minutes. That's okay. Like when I was teaching my son, like running alongside of him this past summer and, you know, like helping him learn how to ride a bike, I didn't yell at him and like, you stink, Ethan, learn to ride your bike, don't fall down. No, I was like cheering him on, running behind him. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You can do it. If you're going to go from 0 to 5 minutes this week, you can do it, right? It's just 5 minutes. 5 minutes that you're going to put literally on your calendar. For me, that means this thing, right? For some of you, you use paper and pen or paper and pad, right? Like, I don't really care how you organize your calendar, but I know that you have 5 minutes somewhere in your day. I know you do, that you can give to prayer. Your job will not fire you because you lost 5 minutes. Your spouse will not divorce you because you lost 5 minutes. Your kids will not become crack addicts because they lost 5 minutes with you, right? It's okay. It's 5 minutes. And some of you are like, what a great idea. I'm going to do that. Some of you are like, I'm not going to do this. You need to do it. You need to do this, right? And so, and some of you, if you genuinely just don't know where to start, I want to help you, right? I want to help you, but come on. I mean, what I was going to do 20, and then the more I thought and prayed about it, I was like, man, these people are just going to roll their eyes at me. Like, 20 minutes? I mean, what, who does he think we are? Saint, you know, Mother Teresa? Like, no. So, okay, so we're going to start. But I will say, just fair warning, next week, when you have done this, and let's say you've gone from 0 to 5, I'm going to say the same thing. Actually, Nick's preaching next week because I got free tickets to the OSU Nebraska game, and I don't hate myself. So, so next week, when Nick is preaching, he's going to say, add 5 minutes. And for a lot of you, you're going to think, that means 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes out of 24 hours. This is not a big ask, right? So this week, it's 5. And so say you're looking at me and you're like, wow, I don't know where to start. I'm going to give you kind of a framework for how you can begin to pray for, let's say it's 5 minutes, right? We're going to add 5. And so the framework, it's 3 R's. Hopefully you'll be able to remember it. Reflect. Respond. Request. And you'll notice these three words will kind of take us along the general path of what we're learning in the Lord's Prayer as we go forth the coming weeks. And so what does this look like? So with reflect, let's try different colors, see if you guys can see this well. Can we see that okay? That's all right. So in essence, you're going to reflect on who God is, what he has done, what he has said. And for a lot of us, we just totally skipped this part. We didn't even know this was a part of prayer. This is a big part of prayer. And so as you bow your head and close your eyes, or as you stand outside and take a walk, or as you're driving to work, or wherever you're doing it in this set-aside time that you're designating as prayer, and you will not cancel this meeting. You might reschedule the meeting if your day blows up, but you will not go to sleep until you have done your plus five. I would suggest strongly, begin with reflect. Reflect on who God is. Reflect on what he has done. Reflect on what he has said. For some of us, we have spent a lot of time studying God's word, and so this is fairly easy for us. We don't necessarily have to read the Bible first. We can just kind of start reflecting on Jesus. We can reflect on the cross. We can reflect on the resurrection. We can reflect on the fact that we are sinners who deserve to go to hell, and yet God, in his amazing, amazing grace reached down and saved us and pulled us out of our own sin and said, I want to adopt you as a son or daughter. You are now mine and I will listen to you. And you begin to reflect on that. And what I have found as I've done this is the response, it kind of just, these two things have gone together for me. Because really what's happening is when you respond, you're really going to do two things. You're going to worship and you're going to repent. And so as you begin to reflect on God, and he's holy, and he's good, and he gives you grace, and he loves you and I so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin, and he just says, hey, just trust me. I'll give you me, and I'll save you. I'll forgive you. I will begin to change you to make you more like my son, Jesus. All these wonderful things. We begin to reflect on that in prayer. And what you'll find in your heart, I think, is you'll just kind of naturally respond with worship. You'll be like, God, you're so good. God, why did you love us this much? God, why in your holiness didn't you just crush us? Because we deserve to be crushed and endure your wrath forever. God, I'm just so thankful for you and what you've done. And what you'll find is as you reflect on who God is, what he has done, what he has said, you're going to worship. That will be part of your response. And then sometimes there'll be times where you're reflecting and maybe you've just read a passage like this and it says, hey, when you pray and you're thinking, I don't pray. I don't pray like I should. I don't pray like Jesus told me to. I don't really pray maybe much at all. And so you're going to repent in your response. You're going to say, God, I'm sorry. God, please help me. God, I'm not praying like you tell me to. I'm not praying consistently. I'm not praying like Jesus wants me to pray. God, I'm sorry. Please, you know, remind me that I'm forgiven in Christ. And God, please help me. And so you're reflecting on God and who he is, what he's done, what he has said. And if you're thinking, man, I don't know that I could do that without reading a little bit of the Bible first, that's fine. You can, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we'll be talking about chapter 6 for the next 5 weeks. Just read that. It's Jesus talking about stuff, and it'll be awesome. And you may not understand any of it, but if you just understand one thing, that's enough to reflect on. And so you reflect, and you respond. And then we get down to request, which is probably what most of us are pretty good at. And so with request, you know, that's a pretty broad thing. And if you're asking, what can I request? I mean, the short answer is anything you want. Like, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, you can literally talk to God about anything you want. You can say, hey, God, I'd like a new car. I mean, you can ask. I don't know that he's going to say yes, but he might, right? You know, so you never know, right? And so it's a request. So me and mine. Now, when I say me and mine, I don't mean like a two-year-old, like mine, like mine. I had it first. Like, I don't mean that. But so when you think of you and yours, like the people that you care about, the people that you know, the people that you gather with on Sunday mornings for church, the people that you're in a small group with because hopefully you're in a small group, the people that you serve with on a life team, just the people you know. So when you request, you should pray for them. You should pray for your own heart that God would help you to become more like his son, Jesus. You should pray that God would help you to be more obedient to him in everything, that God would help you be more gracious to others. And I meant to say this earlier, and when you get to responding and requesting, what will happen as you start to pray, especially for mine, I've got Molly, Ethan, Ella, Annie, and number four, I've got my parents, I've got my life groups, I've got the staff here, I've got, you know, you guys, I pray for you guys. I help coach football at Mount Vernon, so I've got, you know, those coaches and those players. I have a lot of, you know, people that I would say, these people are mine. I've got, you know, we sponsor 3 Compassion Kids. And so people just that you know, you like, you literally know their name. And you pray for them. You ask God to bless them, to help. Maybe they're sick and you know it. You pray that God would heal them. Maybe they're not a believer. And you want God to save them. And you ask God to save them. And maybe during this, God reminds you that there's some static between you and this person, right? And if you look at what Jesus says, man, press pause on the God stuff and go be reconciled to your brother or sister first. So maybe in your 5 minutes, you're going to press pause on the timer, which sometimes I'll do that, where I'll say, hey, I want to pray for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. I'll literally set a timer on my phone so that I know when I'm done. That's okay, right? So maybe I press pause because God reminded me, you know what, I was super mean to Ethan earlier today, and yes, he did something wrong, and I should have disciplined him, but I disciplined him in a sinful, angry way, and I need to go and apologize to him because of how I disciplined him. God's word says, don't do that later. You can get back to me, God says. You go do that now. And so maybe you press pause on that and you go and you're reconciled to someone that there's this just static between you and them. Now, the problem that I think a lot of us have is That rectangle represents the sum total of our prayer life. Like, we don't really do so much reflecting on God and his character, his goodness, the gospel. We don't so much respond in worship and repentance in our prayer. We experience pain, and we think, I'd like the God of the universe to fix this, which is fine, right? And so you just, hey, God, fix this, whatever it is. Like, I'm sick, so-and-so is sick, this relationship, whatever. Fix this, God. That's okay. But if we don't do this, and we don't do this, then you're not praying like the Bible says you should. And honestly, you're missing what for me is the most enjoyable part of prayer. It's just being reminded that God is good and that he loves me. And this may sound morbid or weird, but you know, like one thing I do is every Friday I take off, and that's hard. It's hard to, I mean, you may think that sounds awesome. It's nice, and I recommend you do it whatever day of the week it is for you. But it reminds me, the earth keeps spinning just fine every Friday. Nothing falls apart when I take from Thursday night until Saturday morning, and I just don't do work. And I'm gonna die. Maybe tomorrow, maybe in 50, 70 years, whatever it is, if I live super long. And you know what's gonna happen? The earth will keep on spinning. The kingdom of Christ will keep on marching. And our little worries, which matter to God, when you begin to reflect on how big he is, they just kind of shrink. And the things that I tend to worry about, and I think you'll experience this too, the things that you probably worry about, it's not that they just magically melt away, but they get put in perspective. You're like, oh, yeah. When I die, I'm going to be in heaven with God forever. And the things that I care about and the people I care about, he cares about more than I do. And he's gooder than me. And he's got all the power. I can rest in that, right? So I don't want you to miss out on the joy of reflecting and responding. And the other thing that I'll say is don't allow this rectangle to define your requests. Pray for me and mine. Don't hear me saying, don't pray for me and mine. Pray for me and mine. Pray for the stuff you want. If you want, I joked earlier, a brand new car, pray for that. That's totally okay. I wouldn't expect it, but that's okay. But when you go to request, pray for me, pray for mine, the people that you care about, don't forget to pray for the mission of God, which again, it's intentionally outside of this rectangle, because again, I think for a lot of us, we just kind of forget about that. And there's a reason why. When you look at this stuff right here, what we tend to pray about are the things that we care about. And we care very much about me. We care very much about the people we love. And it's not that we don't care about the mission of God, but we don't care enough to remember it when we pray. So don't forget, make it a habit in these plus five moments to pray for the mission of God. Now, what do I mean when I say the mission of God? Well, if you have kids, like my daughter Annie, she's 2 years old. I mean, she can barely put together sentences, right? So she does not currently love Jesus. Part of the mission of God that I am praying for, that my wife and I are praying for, is that she would come to know and love Jesus the Christ, right? Are there people that you work with that you know from school or family members that don't love the Lord? That's part of the mission of God. Like, God wants to reconcile everyone and everything to himself. You should be in prayer for those people. And maybe they are already in mind. And so I want to give you a couple more things to think about. And so I'm going to put up just some resources. So the first one is our International Mission Board's website. And so you can go there whenever you want, and you can read about the things that your financial giving here to LifePoint, which we're so thankful for, goes to support. Like, there are missionaries all over the world telling people about Jesus right now because of our giving. And they put prayer requests there. There are videos there. There are stories there where you can learn about specific people groups. And maybe you'll just go there on a regular basis and just spend some time praying for whatever is kind of on the front page. Maybe you can, like, there are these tabs. You can say, you know what, I'm really interested in Central Asia. I don't know why, I just am. Well, go look it up, and you'll hear about what God is doing in Central Asia. That's awesome. You can pray for those things. The second thing, this one is the North American Mission Board, which is kind of our denomination's U.S. and Canada. missions network. And so again, if you're like, man, I'm really interested more in disaster relief, like what's happening with the Hurricane Matthew stuff? How can I pray for those things? You can go to this site, and you can learn those things. Again, we're thankful for how you guys give, because your giving goes to this, and we're able to, I mean, we've fed like probably a million meals at this point to the people who were affected by Hurricane Matthew. I mean, it's just amazing what goes on. And so if you're interested in that, do that. The third thing that is listed here, Jeff Huff is a really cool guy. He's by far the oldest person on our staff. He's like grandpa. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. Anyways, so we have more or less a digital prayer team. We have a prayer team that meets here on Sunday mornings at 9:45. We would love for you to be a part of that. So a couple things that I want to point out to you. So on the back of your listening guide, you'll notice there's a prayer request thing. If you ever have something you want us to pray for, fill it out. You can put your name, you can keep it anonymous, whatever you want to do. You can just drop those in the black boxes as you leave. So Jeff Huff and a team of people that have connected with him through emailing him, he just emails out that information to a group of people who said, I want to pray for that stuff. And so if you want to be on that list of people who just gets to pray for whatever the needs are at our Mount Vernon campus, our Luber Center campus, our Delaware campus, you guys all heard Kale last week, just email Jeff Huff, and he'll get you set up with that. Just say, hey, Jeff, Adam talked about being part of this digital prayer team where we get to pray for the prayer requests at our church. I would love to be a part of that, and he'll set you up, right? So a couple specific things that I just want to point out to you, just as kind of a way of saying thanks, but also just for you to pray for. So we have a goal, our church, of sending 100 longer-term missionaries over the next 10 years. Right now, we're at one. We don't say her name because she's in a dangerous place. We'll call her V, and she's in Central Asia. And so pray for V in Central Asia. And we had a chance to Skype with V this past week. And in a different part of her country, there were 10 young men who have become believers, and that's not necessarily legal where they are. And so they were discovered by the government and are now facing some pretty legitimate persecution. And there was a Western missionary who was discovered to have been connected with this whole converting to Jesus thing, and this guy's now in jail. And so so there are things like this that are happening all over the world, right? And what I don't want us to be lost in is me and mine, me and mine, me and mine, when what God is doing is so much bigger than what's in front of our face. And so in your 5 minutes sometime this week, would you pray for V in Central Asia? Would you pray for these 10 young men who just are in some pretty significant trouble because they share our faith? And this Western missionary who's in jail because he answered the call of God to go someplace where it's not necessarily legal to talk about Jesus, and he talked about Jesus, and now he's in jail, right? And so in your 5 minutes, which you're going to have 35 minutes of total if you do, you know, the next 7 days, which you're going to do it, you're going to get on the bike, you're going to drink the coffee, you know what I mean, right? Pray for these things, right? Like, thank God for the faithfulness of these 10 people, of this missionary, of this other missionary, V. Like, thank God for them, but pray for them. You know, and if you don't know what to say, just say, hey, God, help them. Like, God, help. Like, that's a perfectly acceptable prayer. If you remember what Jesus said, God doesn't answer your prayer because you said it right. You guys remember that part? Like, you can just say, God, V, help, and he'll be like, got it. Heard your prayer. And so, the challenge for you this week, get on the bike, learn to love the coffee, whatever you want to do it, begin to acquire the taste for prayer. We're all going to add 5 minutes to whatever we were doing, and if you don't really know how to do that, reflect, respond, and request. Request being me, mine, and mission. It's a great place to start. All right, so let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to have been here. And Father, I just ask that you would help each of us to know you, to love you, God, to dedicate time to you in prayer. And Father, we confess that this is often a struggle for us. We confess that there may be days that go by that if we added up all the minutes of prayer, it would add up to zero. And God, we're so thankful that you forgive us for that neglect. But Father, I ask that every single person who is here would add 5 minutes to whatever they have been doing. And God, that you would begin to teach us to go beyond just request, me and mine, me and mine, me and mine. But God, that you would help us to learn to reflect on you, to respond to your character and your goodness in the gospel, and God, then to request stuff from you. Not just me and mine, but God, things related to your mission. God, your mission of saving all people everywhere through trusting your son, Jesus, because he and he alone is worthy of praise. So Father, please give us that help. God, I'm thankful to have been here, and God, as we sing and as we close, God, help us to do it with hearts full and hearts motivated to improve in our prayer lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.